One of the benefits of putting your ideas out there is that they can actually catch on and gain traction. That's what happened with Camden family doctor Jeffrey Brenner. He was featured in The New Yorker last year, and since then, he's become a sought-after speaker around the country. His work focuses on unnecessary ER visits. They are a major contributor to skyrocketing healthcare costs. And Brenner and his group, the Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers, come up with options to help people find more appropriate and less expensive care. Health and Science reporter Tanya English spent time in Camden to see how their healthcare fix is working out. Tanya, the story begins with some serious cost analysis.
You know, it was healthcare data detectives that really discovered this problem. They began noticing the same address, 500 North 7th Street, over and over again as they were kind of crunching these healthcare expense numbers. And it turns out residents from that one high-rise apartment building, it's called Northgate 2, rack up more than $1 million in ER visits and hospital expenses every year. The coalition was looking for a way to change all that, so these days, there's a medical office right in the bottom of the building. And the residents, very importantly, have a medical assistant who helps keep up with their health care. Miss an important medical appointment, and Shireen Aliza will likely find out.
Since his situation was a little bit critical, the doctor contacted my office, and I was able to contact this patient immediately. I'm the medical assistant, receptionist, translator at this office. I'm a little bit of everything here.
The space is bare bones, just two exam rooms and a tiny file office. But Elise is there every day to answer questions and help smooth out health insurance snags. A doctor sees patients on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Patients say, you know, we have the doctor downstairs. You don't have to do anything. Just go see Shireen.
People assume that she doesn't speak Spanish when they go in.
Pam Robb is president of the Tenants Association.
And then she'll speak Spanish. And they're like, oh, comprende, you know. And to see the joy in their face that she understands.
No, parece, ¿cuál es el número? Parece que ellos te llamaron también.
Tanya, it sounds like Shireen Aliza adds that human touch, that connection that patients so often say is missing in healthcare today. But this all started because the tenants in the building were calling 911 a lot. Are they all elderly? Are they in poor health?
You know, many of them are. This is a 23-floor high-rise building. It's subsidized housing for older people and people with disabilities. So you might expect that, you know, they'd need the doctor more, that there might be more illness. But when I spoke with Ken Gross, he's a health researcher, he said there's still a strikingly high number of kind of this back and forth between Northgate 2 and the ERs around town.
That's a sign for us from the data. You may not have a source of primary care, or it's a loose relationship with primary care.
Ken Gross heads up research at the Camden Coalition for Healthcare Providers. The group is probably best known for culling through billing information from Camden's three hospitals to better understand citywide healthcare problems.
Patients could go to Cooper for two visits, Our Lady of Lourdes for one visit, and Virtua for another visit. And if you only got data from Cooper, you'd only know that that person went three times.
Much of Northgate's ER and hospital expenses goes toward ambulance rides and care for everyday ailments. A hospital ER can charge the government or insurance companies $500 or more to check out sniffles or a stomach ache. That's a costly problem that led to the new doctor's office and hiring medical assistant Shireen Aliza. She's one part of an effort to get the building's super users to stop going to the hospital so much. To figure out how to do that, the coalition spoke with residents at Northgate 2.
Well, my name's John Pike. I don't know what else to say.
Pike had a hip replacement back in 2007, but he's still in pain. And for years, he was a frequent flyer at the emergency department.
You sit there and you wait. You can be there for like two, sometimes 4 hours, half, or almost all day.
Pike guesses that he used to end up in the ER 8 or 9 times a year, but that didn't necessarily make him feel welcome. ER staffers change all the time, he says, and no one seemed to remember him or his medical history.
You get to feeling like you're irritating them because it'd be simple problems. I'm wasting their time. They could be dealing with a real emergency.
During one trip to the ER, a nurse pulled Pike aside and told him, "This is something your doctor can deal with."
What'd you say to that?
There's not much I could say because she was telling the truth.
Pike says he tried to find a family physician, but none of the doctors that he called him back. been about a year ago the Northgate practice opened.
Is it a new pain or is it the same, something new?
I'm Madhumati Gunasekaran, and I'm a primary care physician, and they call me Dr. G.
So, you know, more like on the bone, you have the pain on the bone, you know. It's not, I was worried about your kidneys, but, you know, it doesn't look like it's a kidney pain, okay?
I believe strongly in prevention is better than cure.
Okay, but we'll keep an eye. If anything worsens, let me know, okay?
Okay. I feel comfortable with her. I can talk to her. She doesn't, what do you call it, shrug you off like some doctors. She listens to you.
John Pike was an easy convert, but many others in the building have yet to go see Dr. G or Shireen. People turn to and stick with the ER for lots of reasons.
You find that there's this culture, so that's what people know at this point.
Mark DiFilippo is a behavioral health expert. He says some people simply get comfortable doing things the way they've always done them.
Their culture is that we go to the emergency room. My mom did. My grandmother did. So that's what I do. So one of the things that we're trying to do is educate people on, you know, when you should approach a primary care provider and when you should go to the emergency room. And that's a big job.
Just putting in the doctor's office didn't do the trick.
We thought that since they were having such a difficult time, that we just open up the door, they would just come down. But that's not the case. They have to really get to know you, trust you.
Dr. John Regis is president of Reliance Medical Group, which runs the practice at Northgate 2. So far, about 90 of the building's 360 residents have come in for an appointment. Location is a big selling point, but also complicates patient confidentiality. Regis says some people don't want their neighbors to know they're going to the doctor.
I think that was somewhat surprising, but we're starting to get past that now.
The goal is to get about 15% of building residents to choose Dr. G as their primary care physician for regular care and checkups. Regis says that's what pays the bills.
Healthcare is a business, although it's a special business. It is a business, and one and one is two, no matter where you are.
The office is careful to keep operating expenses low, but Dr. Regis said Reliance does invest in staffers like Shireen Aliza, who understands the power of friendly.
If you have a doc that's not willing to listen to you, not willing to look at you in the eye, that's always writing and trying to get you out of the room, then you need to find another doc.
Tanya, the primary care provider has only been at Northgate 2 for a year, so it's too soon to really know whether this will actually really cut down on the cost of going to ER and will cut down on ER visits. But is this model of bringing care closer to the patients catching on?
Definitely. It's not practical necessarily to put a full doctor's office in the bottom of every apartment building. But what is practical, and I think what a lot of the healthcare organizations are doing, is bringing someone from the healthcare world closer, like a Shireen, someone who can make the connections, bridge the gap between the system and these individuals.
So somebody who has a very personal approach, who says, hey, what about your doctor's visit or how's your blood pressure, something like that?
Exactly. Someone who's a little bit in your life, maybe a little bit in your face.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you.